Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. It's called It's All About Relationship, and I'm David Novak, and you're about to listen to episode number 106. Number 106 on It's All About Relationship. Hey, if you're new to the show, welcome aboard. We're really glad to have you. And if you're, you know, a regular listener or, you know, you've come back a couple of times, hey, thanks for doing that. We're really glad that you're faithful. So anyway, hey, we got a good show for you here. Of course, I say that every single show because I kind of think we do have a good show every time. But I'm really excited about today's, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But first, I want to remind you of a couple of things. If you want to follow me on Facebook as an actor, we'd love for you to do that. It's David Novak Actor. And on Instagram, it's the same thing, David Novak Actor. And if you want to follow the show, which we're doing right now, it's under Facebook, it's All About Relationship. That's the name of the show on Facebook. And on Instagram, it would be under David Novak Podcast, N-O-V-A-K. The only reason for that is because somebody had the other name for some reason. So anyway, that's the way that is. So, hey, if you haven't caught up to the last couple of episodes, I really invite you to do that. The last episode we did, which was 105, it was called The Problem with Perfectionism. And if you're a perfectionist or you think you have to do everything by works and please God only by works, it doesn't work that way. But that's what we kind of talked about in episode 105. So it might be a very freeing thing for you to check out that episode. The one right before that was Someone Who Can Understand Us, episode 104. And I think that'll be encouraging to you as well. And then one more, the one right before that, episode 103, we had a special guest, Mark Sowersby, and he talked about, that was such a heavy episode, but it was really awesome. So anyway, I have a special guest today. Actually, I have two special guests. And sometimes we have people from the entertainment industry with us. Sometimes we have people from... that are in, I hate to use the word religious background because that sounds like, you know what I'm saying. But sometimes we have pastors and teachers, I'll put it that way. But today we have somebody who's in the entertainment business, two people, and they're, in the Christendom too, as far as teachers and that kind of thing. So anyway, I digress just a little bit, but let me give you just a little bit of background. They are currently working on a film. It's called Trigonus, and that's actually how I met them, because I had a little part in that, and I met them, I guess you could say I met them on set. We can get into that in a minute, but it was really cool, because when I met these two folks, we talked about the movie, and within about 2 minutes, we started talking about the Lord, and we ended up talking about the Lord for, 15 minutes or something before we even talked about the movie, and we were getting ready to shoot. So that tells you what kind of people they are. They're God-loving Christian, really good people. I love these people. They're awesome. Anyway, little bit of background. We're talking about Michael and Joanna Kempion. Michael and Joanna Kempion, and they wrote and directed, produced, starred in the sci-fi movie Trigonus, which is currently in production right now. They're almost ready to go to post, so that's pretty exciting. And Michael was actually born in Hungary, and he came over here 23 years ago, I think it was. And Joanna was actually born in communist Romania. And she came over here about 22 years or something like that. And I believe they met over here. We're going to get more into that in a minute. But anyway, welcome to the show, Michael and Joanna. Good to have you guys.
Hi.
Hi, David.
Thank you for this great opportunity to be involved in this great podcast.
You guys are awesome. And I haven't known you a long time, but the short time I have known you, I love you guys. You guys are awesome. And you have the heart of God. And you do. You really. Yeah, you really do. And I can tell. And just from our short conversations, they've been good ones. So hey, Michael, I'm gonna throw the ball at you right now. And if you could give us a little bit of background, I have my notes in front of me. I told them that you were born in Hungary, but tell us a little bit more and how you came to know the Lord.
I met with Jesus in 1991 in Hungary. That was the very first time when I when I heard the full gospel, about the full gospel. So I had a very difficult childhood, and I was sick, and I was in and out from the hospital. So I was 3 years old when I made my first step in the arm of my mom, because I was very sick, and I spent all my half of my life in the hospital, in the local hospital in Hungary, and the doctors really can't help me. I had a serious heart and lung asthma, and I had a very serious allergy for pollen, like a pollen allergy, and I look for the purpose of my life, and I look for the reason why I'm born sick, why I had a terrible, miserable life. Why didn't had a chance to choose a better life? Why nobody asked me, hey, what kind of life do you want? So it's really bothered me. I was 9, 10 years old, and I really looked for the purpose of my life. And I heard the gospel when I was 17 years old, and I understand that all the troubles, all the reason in my reason of the troubles in my life is the sin caused it. So I'm a sinner, and I'm born in sin, and this is a generation problem. So I need to set free from sin.
Now, when you say a generation problem, you mean through your genealogy? Is that how you're referring to that?
Yeah, kind of like that, and then okay. Spiritually too.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, we can imagine that we can think that we're born in the perfect family. No criminals, no addictions, no any sickness, but we still have invisible world around us. That's a spiritual problem too. So everyone on this planet needs Jesus, needs help,
right,
to set us set free from sin and from this spiritual pressure, bad spiritual pressure, what is all around the world. So I was 17 years old when I heard the gospel, and one of my friends invited me to the church, and the pastor called everyone who wants Jesus, and I said yes in my heart, mm-hmm. And I'd step out and I lift up my arm, and I got Jesus. I physically, I feel that something has changed in my inside,
right,
in my mind, in my heart. And that was very, very interesting, because a few minutes later, the pastor gave us a chance to get the Holy Spirit too.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't know what he talks about, but I just feel that I don't know who's the Holy Spirit. I don't know what is that. I don't know what it's about. I don't know where I am now.
Yeah.
But I said, I want that. I want everything what it came from Jesus.
Sure, so if it's from God and he's got gifts for you, just take them all, right? I mean, they're free.
Yeah. So I said, yeah. So the pastor lays his hand on my head, and he prayed for me, and I got the Holy Spirit. I started to speaking in tongues, so I thought that, oh, my gosh, I'm getting crazy here. I don't know what's going on. I didn't drink anything, but I feel like the happiest man on the world.
Oh,
so,
love it.
So, yeah, so 2 years later, this is very important parts of my story. 2 years later, I went to the doctor, and I asked him to make an examination in my body, the full examination, and he couldn't find my sickness.
Wow. Really?
So all my sickness. Yeah.
Gosh, that's so awesome.
I had to take medicine every day, mm-hmm. a lot of medicine, until 18 years old. And since that day, I didn't take any medicine, and I'm fine.
That's
I'm good.
That's so awesome to hear that.
Oh, that's my story.
Wow, that's so. Not only did you get saved, but Jesus completely restored you to complete full health.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Yeah. Amen. That's God. That's what He does. Exactly what He does. Oh man, that's so cool. That's such a good story, and I didn't know that. It's not in my notes, so you just told me something I hadn't heard, and that's so very cool. So very cool. Joanna, now can you tell us how you came to know the Lord? Now, you were born in Romania, communist Romania, so maybe you can tell us how you came to know the Lord, but how it was like over there, too.
Yeah, let me start with how I remember the communist era. I was born in Romania in a different status than it is now. The world was a very different place for us back then. When I was born, I remember very vividly that we used to have to go to school for 6 days in a row. We only had Sunday off. And as a kid, that was a tragedy for me because we heard that in some parts of the world, kids are free on Saturday. And that for us was unique. But what I remember another thing that I remember very vividly is that food was very, very scarce. People used to have to wake up in the morning at 5, 6 o'clock and go down to the store and stay for a couple hours in a long line to hopefully get some milk for the kids. Oranges we only had at Christmas time. There was for Christmas at church, every kid received a little gift. Mm-hmm. And in the gift, there was one orange.
Wow.
And if you were lucky, then maybe you got two gifts, so you had two oranges. Mm-hmm. And that was priceless. I was, I think, maybe 14 when I tasted my first banana.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was green and raw because I had no idea when it was supposed to be eaten.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Jeez.
So, yeah, when I was 10 years old, my dad came to the States. And after that, when I thought about America, I thought to myself, if I ever go to America myself, I'm going to stuff myself full of bananas and chocolate.
That's very good. I can understand why, too. And we are, you know, we are so fortunate here in the States, obviously, you know, for the most part. I mean, even our poor people here are well off better than 90% of the world. So, I mean, we are just so blessed here. So, yes. And anyway, as you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. So how did you come to know the Lord, Joanna?
So I started playing the violin when I was a little girl, when I was in first grade. And, well, you know, it's not always fun to have to practice. You just want to know instantly how to play the violin.
Sure.
But my mom was very much on my case that I had to practice every day. And I, one time I was very rude with her and I yelled at her and then I ran in my room and I fell on the bed crying and I told God, you know, look what's happening to me. I'm being forced to play the violin and I was rude with my mom and please talk to her because she doesn't see things from my point of view. And then I randomly opened up my Bible and then I read a Bible verse which hit me in the head with full force. And it was the first time I realized that, wait a minute, although I was born in a Christian family and all my life I've been going to church, I am a sinner. And if I don't stop this, if I don't go to Jesus, I am going to perish in my sins. And the Bible verse was Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Mm. And it was kind of like a light bulb went off in my head.
Wow. Yeah. And
I immediately turned 180 degrees around and I said, okay, God, I am so sorry for my sins. I am so sorry for all the things that I've done wrong. And I want to accept Jesus. I want to go and meet with you. I want to be in a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt this heavy, huge burden falling off my shoulders.
Wow. Yeah. And you were how old at that time?
I was like 10? 10 years old.
Yeah, 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
And around the age of 16, I felt that, you know, like all teenagers do. I started feeling some depression, and I felt that no one in the whole world understands me. Of course, my dad was in the States, so I, other than like a phone call for an hour or so every month, my dad was pretty much absent in my life, and it was out of our hands. So I started seeking God very fervently, and I went to a camp in Hungary where they told me that there is, you know, the Holy Spirit can fill your life, and you can get another level of relationship with God. And I said, I don't know how that works. I just know that I want it.
Yeah.
And I started praying, and just for like 2 minutes straight, I was just praying and praying and praying, worshiping God. And then by the time I finished those 2 minutes, I was speaking in a tongue that I couldn't recognize.
Wow.
And I remember very vividly waking up that night a couple of times, and my tongue was still turning around in my mouth, and I was still praying even when I was sleeping. I just kept praying
on.
And that was the most fantastic thing that I remember about meeting the Holy Spirit. And ever since, I've been living a different level of Christianity, you know, with power and strength. And
oh my gosh, that's such an awesome story. I mean, it is such an awesome story. I've heard numerous accounts from people how they, you know, how they've received the Holy Spirit, but the way you just described it was like, oh geez, that just touched my heart. Like, so anyway, so how did you both meet, or where did you meet?
Wow, that's a really, really long story. So,
yeah, I think you can say it. It's not that first time.
First of all, I need to tell you guys that I really don't like the love story in the TV.
Okay.
So I don't like that kind of like that movies, the stories, because I thought when I was young that, oh, that's not true. That does not exist, a story like that. So, but God has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, true.
So he gave me one of the most romantic story ever on this world. So, but I need to confess something. Joanna is the expert of this story. How nobody is able to tell this story just as her. So please, Joanna.
So our story started actually before we met, because we lived about, what was that, 50, 60 kilometers from each other?
Yeah, I live in Eastern Hungary, and Joanna live in Oradea.
And Western Romania.
In Western Romania. Yeah. So the distance between those two cities, about 60 kilometers.
Okay.
Not miles, kilometers.
Right.
I went there several times. I drive through Oradea in this city, and it turns out that I stop in front of their house at the traffic lights. So we got a million chance to meet each other, but God had another plan. Take us to the other end of the world to meet up here. So.
Okay, so what I think I'm hearing is that you were right by her house many, many, many times, but you didn't meet her till you got to the States. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I was a worship leader in the Hungarian church,
mm-hmm.
and I was a helper of one of my friends in the church, and he was involved in the construction business, so I was his helper. And when we heard that Joanna's father came to America and bring his family too, the old church, the old Hungarian church, was very happy. So we went to the LAX all together, the old church, and greetings them to the at the airport. And my friend and I left the job site and went to the airport, pick up a small flower, and went to the airport to greetings them. Keep going, so, Joanna. Finish it.
So after reading for 10 years while my dad was here in the States, and the papers took that long, so for, while we were waiting for 10 years to come to the States, I arrived to the States, and there's like a whole group of Hungarians waiting for us there that I know no one from. So I knew nobody. And we shook hands with Michael, and my first impression of him was, wow, this is such a handsome guy.
And who is he? Thank you.
So we shook hands, and 5 months later, we were married.
5 months later? Is that what you said?
I realized this is the woman what I want. That's it. So I didn't hesitate. I didn't give chance to other boys. So I just...
Yeah, you didn't mess around, did you?
I just grabbed her like an eagle from the sky.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't let her go.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
He actually ended up taking me a couple weeks later, or 3 weeks later, maybe. He took me to my first job interview in the U.S. Because I wasn't driving yet. And after the interview, we were close to the beach, so he thought, what a great opportunity to walk on the beach with this girl. So he asked me if I was interested, and I said, sure, of course. I only saw the ocean once before that.
Mm-hmm. So this is the romantic part what I'm talking about. Listen to guys. This is great. This is unbelievable.
I'm all here. I'm all ears.
So here we are walking on the beach, you know, enjoying the waves, enjoying the sun, enjoying the sand. And we were talking about our lives and, you know, getting acquainted. And we were already liking each other. And all of a sudden, Aurel's thought was, oh, what a great thing it would be to, oh, I'm sorry, Michael's thought was, what a great thing it would be to give this girl a beautiful flower. And as he thinks this thought, the ocean carries out a beautiful red carnation.
What?
One single flower.
I'm serious. We still have it. We still have it.
Yeah, I pressed it down and
It was in the water? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh. Yeah. That's like...
it came from nowhere. So it just
washed out.
Oh, my gosh.
I got shocked, you know, because I thought, oh my gosh, somebody knew my thought in my mind, in my heart, and I just pick that up, give it to Joanna, and I tell her, keep this flower very well. This is a very special flower, so just keep it. But I was shaking, and I got shocked. Oh my gosh, who's that? Who see that my thought? Only God.
Yeah.
So that was the very first time that I getting to understand that God,
this is something special.
Join us,
yeah,
and she's very happy for us.
Well, that's amazing. That's, you know, if I saw that in a movie, I wouldn't. There's no way that's true. There's no way. But you know,
actually, that's why I told you guys that. This is unbelievable. So
I still have goosebumps.
Yeah. Oh man.
Maybe that's gonna be my next movie. I don't know. Maybe.
You got to get it in there somewhere. Jeez, you guys. Hey, and that just kind of tells you that God really cares about even the little things, and He's not too He's not too busy for us. You know, I mean, sometimes we think that the only thing God cares about is the big giant things in our lives, the problems or whatever it is. But He cares about even the little tiny things. And even though that was a really tiny thing, but it was huge to you guys. So, I mean, that's a great story. I love that.
Honestly, I have to tell you also that ever since I was 14 years old, it was something that I would do, that I would just pray for the man that God created me for.
And
every so often when I started having these emotions as a teenager, that, you know, of course, as a teenager, you want to fall in love. You want to get to know the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And every time I had these emotions, I would start praying for him, whom I don't know yet.
Right.
God is preparing for me. And who God is preparing me for God to hold on to him, to keep him safe, to keep him sound. And to fill his life, to make himself known to him. And I have to tell you, God is just the most wonderful ever. Mm-hmm. He is true. He keeps his promises, and wow, he will never fail.
Wow.
I'm not going to tell you what I did when I was 14, okay?
I don't. Wait a minute. When I was 14, you were 19.
Well, maybe we don't want to know. I don't know. You and me both, brother, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So let me, how long you guys been married?
22 years.
Okay. You're still on your honeymoon then.
Yeah, we got married in 2000, so it's easy to remember how many years.
Yeah, August 18.
Yeah, that's awesome. okay. All right, I'm going to, that's a great story. We're going to switch gears a little bit right now because I want you to tell everybody about the movie that you guys are in the middle of producing and shooting, and again it's called Trigonus, and it's a sci-fi movie based, and it's through Golden Street Media Productions, which you are the founder of, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to give us a little background on the movie, but don't feel like you need to give it away or anything. Don't give the plot away too much, because we want people to see it, right? But just a little bit of background. So
yeah, okay. This story is about a very common social problem, actually the social question, the abortion. This is a very, this questions arise up the society all the time. And my personal opinion is that was the motivation of to create a movie that I'm not. It's really bothered me that the people make this topic as a political view or religious view. Mm. The liberal politician says that this is a basic right for every woman, and the religious side of the society says that this is sin. That's it, no question, sin. And it's really bothered me because I think my personal view is that this is not about politics, and this is not about religion. It's not about faith. It's not about it's not about the economy problem. It's about relationship. Relationship between a mother, father, and the children. And that's why I try to explain this story this way. And I really hope that everybody will understand that you got a chance before you make decision. You got a chance before you make this decision, the final decision to walk into the abortion clinic. Think through it. Think about your children. It's not about your right. It's not about your faith. That are you a believer or not? Are you a Christian or not? Are you came from a traditional Christian family or not? It's not about that. It's about your relationship. I tell it to every woman. It's about your relationship between that little children, little life, and you.
Right. Can you... go ahead.
I would like to explain this story this way. Actually, I didn't want to explain anything. I just want to tell my opinion, and I would like to make people think about this and arguing about this.
And it is a sci-fi movie, so
yeah.
Can you, without giving away too much of, you know, the ending or the plot or anything, can you just give us the premise of why it's science fiction? When does it take place, and you know, that kind of thing. So, Joanne, go ahead.
Yeah, let me go ahead and add to that the Trigonus is an very exciting sci-fi movie. It's centered around this important social matter, but the story takes place in the future. It's in a time frame when the countries are governed by a one world government, and you know, constant problems do show up, even like today. And the new planet is discovered, which is the Trigonus. And this is a planet that's very similar to Earth, but there are no people on it. It's uninhabited. There is, however, a very unique energy source present, which promises a prosperity for humanity like never before. So in this view, a crew of four astronauts is deployed to harvest it. And when they arrive to this planet, to their greatest surprise, they encounter children on Trigonus, only children, no grown-ups. And they later find out that these were all kids aborted on Earth. So one of the children, a little girl, contacts the commander of the spaceship, and she forms a very special friendship with him. So the movie follows along as their friendship blossoms, while the story carries on to the main questions. Where is the hidden energy source, and what will our astronauts sacrifice to retrieve it?
Very interesting. And go ahead.
I need to tell to the public that you, David, going to be the director of the Space Institute.
Right, and I played that role. My character name is John Cardwell, right?
Yeah,
right. So yeah, I have a little role in that. So that was fun to do that, and because I got to do that role, I got to meet you guys. So that was the highlight of doing that film. Because I got to meet you guys. That's why. But I had a really good time doing it, and I can't wait to see the movie too. That'll be awesome. So you're about ready to go into post. So what? When do you think you might be done with it completely? And then when you are done with it completely, when do you? Where do you? You know, plan to market it?
It's gonna be next year summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you looking?
We don't have a specific date yet.
Right.
But we're working on it hard.
Okay. Are you looking at like Amazon Prime and streaming platforms? Or are you looking at maybe a limited theater release, or do you know yet? Or you just is it's all up in the air, or what do you think?
Yeah, we would like to grab all the opportunities to publish our movie everywhere. And we would like to represent the movie in film festivals too.
Great, great.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
we have some marketing place, our plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if they want to follow the movie, how do they do that?
We have a website set up for it, and it's going to be linked to all the social media once we start gearing it all up.
Okay.
And the website is trigonusthemovie.com.
And you spell that TRIGONUSTHE, the movie. MOVIE.com, Trigonus, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, cool. Very cool. And like I said a couple times already, I had a great time working on it with you guys, and meeting you was the highlight of all that, and talking about the Lord. That was so cool, because I said that at the very beginning of the show, but I want to repeat it again. You know, when I started getting ready to work on this, folks, and I met Michael and Joanna, I mean, we're ready to shoot. I mean, you know, we're getting together to shoot this a couple of scenes. And, you know, we talked about the movie for about a minute or two, but then we started talking about the Lord. And I think we talked about the Lord for 15 or 20 minutes before we even got back to talking about the movie. So that I think that was really pretty cool. And it told me right away where these folks are coming from. And I'm thinking in my heart, I think I want to get to know these people a little bit better, because we have the same heart. And, you know, that's a big thing to me. So, as you guys know. So, before we close it down today, is there anything that you folks would like to add or share or tell the audience or anything? Anything on your heart right now?
Well, I think the only thing we want to emphasize is that we are strong believers in doing what you can for what you believe in. And our God deserves all the glory for everything that we do, and He deserves all of our ideas and all of the things that we do to praise Him.
Amen.
And we hope for that for all the listeners too.
Amen. Amen. Michael.
Yeah, and this is a tough time, so keep the faith.
Absolutely.
This is very important. Keep the faith and keep your joy, and focus on God. Focus on the Word of God.
Absolutely.
This is very important for me now.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are gonna hear some music right now, and which means we're running the show out right now. But don't you guys go anywhere. Stay on the phone with me, okay? I want to talk to you. All right.
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, you just got done listening to episode number 106 with Michael and Joanna Kempion. Give us some feedback. Tell us what you think. Share it with friends. Share it with neighbors. It's all about relationship. Thanks for being with us today. God bless you all.